Hello, Divorce and Beyond family. I've got some exciting news because we have teamed up with Headspace to guide you toward better mental health. With Headspace's meditation, mindfulness tools, and mental health support, you're set for a journey to a happier, healthier you. And there's more because if you sign up through our exclusive link, you'll enjoy 2 weeks of Headspace membership for free. So don't miss out on this opportunity to embrace your well-being. You can check out the show notes for the link or just go to divorcebeyond.com/headspace-Susan and you'll be able to start your path to peace and joy today. This is just one more way that we can support you on your journey to a better beyond.
Coming up on today's episode of the Divorce and Beyond podcast.
I think the reason that so many people get stuck in that limbo space of do I stay or do I go, and I'm just in indecision for years, is because they think they only have these two options, which is some version, like you said, of stay and endure something that doesn't feel good, which that's hard to make peace with, or blow up my life and hurt a bunch of people that I love.
Hello, and welcome to the Divorce and Beyond podcast. I'm Susan Guthrie, your host. As a top divorce attorney and family law mediator for 30 years, I know what you need to know to get through your divorce, and most importantly, how to move beyond it to thrive and transition to your new future. My experts and I are here to give you the insider view into the process, so listen in for the wisdom and expert information you need on your journey through divorce and beyond. Hello, and welcome to today's podcast. I'm Susan Guthrie, your host, and hello, listeners. Today, I have a really great topic for you all, and believe it or not, not one that I have done before, and that's hard to believe with over 300 podcasts in the can, but I am very excited about this because our friend Lisa Kosky, all of you know Lisa, she's been on a couple of times. She's actually coming on again sometime soon, but she has her Doing Divorce Different podcast, and this guest was recently on Lisa's podcast. And then the universe provides because I found her as well. And this is a topic that I think is very important for us to talk to, for you to hear, for you to listen to, because we know so many of you struggle in that space of should I stay? Should I go? It's not so bad. I don't know what I want to do, etc. And that's really Sharon's, you know, her sweet spot. Her name is Sharon Pope. Let me introduce you to her. She is a renowned relationship expert. She's also a certified master life coach. And she specializes in helping individuals navigate the complexities of lonely and disconnected marriages. So if that's ringing a bell for you, stay tuned. We're diving in because she's here to help us with the divorce alternative, how to create the 2.0 version of your marriage, or maybe the 3.0 version of your marriage, because who knows how many versions you've been through. So first, thank you, Sharon, for coming on and helping us with this tricky topic.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. This is going to be a good conversation.
It really is, because I have talked about that decision, should I stay, should I go? I have talked about the starting of the divorce process, and certainly I've talked about every aspect of the divorce process and life after divorce, but I have never talked about what we know for many people is a limbo they live in for sometimes many years. And that is, I call it the marriage limbo of, is this a viable marriage or not? Can it work for us? Can it not? And so I love the idea of talking about it from this aspect that I'm assuming, I'll let you clarify, but I'm assuming is not just stick it out and suffer. It is, how can you change things? How can you effectuate change to make the relationship viable again?
I think the reason that so many people get stuck in that limbo space of do I stay or do I go, and I'm just in indecision for years, is because they think they only have these two options, which is some version, like you said, of stay and endure something that doesn't feel good, which that's hard to make peace with, or blow up my life and hurt a bunch of people that I love. And that seems like a horrible option also. So I'll just stay right here. This seems safer, even though it's uncomfortable. It seems safer because I don't have to take any step in any new direction, but then I get stuck there for years, or even I have some clients that have been there for more than a decade.
Yeah. And I believe that because I've ended up with those people as a client eventually. I would say if you stay there in perpetuity, sooner or later, most people, and maybe this is why we're seeing such a huge rise in gray divorce these days, is because older generations were sort of taught to just hang it out, hang in there and suffer. Yeah. And maybe societally, we're finally getting past that, where at least it's okay to end the marriage and divorce. But I would assume that life is a little better if you jump on the 2.0 version concept early on and you know, adopt this idea that relationships are not static things. They can change.
Right. I think they're living, breathing, always changing things. Like, I think you're always growing closer together or further apart. You are not stagnant, even though it might feel like you're stagnant. And even when you feel like you're stagnant, it's just the distance that grows between you happens so slowly that you're not noticing it until it becomes palpable. And you're like, I cannot keep living like this. I have to do something. And that's when you go start seeking the answers. But I think what I try to present to my clients is just like, look, instead of option A and B, like we talked about, stay and endure something that feels horrible or blow up my life. Instead, let's explore. Can the relationship evolve to a new place? A place that feels good for both of you, given where you're at today. Because by the way, what you wanted and needed when you got married is very different than what you want and need today. And we have to start normalizing that conversation. Or if we're going to end it, that's okay. But let's do it in the most peaceful and loving way possible. We don't have to hate each other. We can put to bed that idea that like, oh, if I actually care about you, then I have to stay with you. No, you can hold two things at once, two truths at once. I care about you. I might even love you. And I choose to not be in my most intimate relationship with you.
Oh, that's my friend Elizabeth Cohen, the divorce doctor, calls that the golden and.
Oh, I love that. Right,
where you can have one thing
and another
thing.
Time? Yeah, you can do that.
And that's beautiful and feels actually very loving, feels very caring in that it's not that you're bad or that you've done something wrong or any of these things. It is that I love you enough and I love me enough to let us both be free in a certain
way. That's right. That's right. And I love Elizabeth Gilbert said a long time ago, freedom never works one way. It always works both ways. So when you free yourself, you also free your partner. And what that means is like, you free yourselves up to be in a relationship that feels good for you. Because my friends, when one person is struggling in the relationship and it doesn't feel good, you cannot tell me that the other person is happy, right? If you actually love your partner and they're struggling and they're suffering in the marriage, you can't sit back and go like, I'm happy. I don't know what your problem is. It's not love.
Who cares about you? I'm doing great.
Right.
Well, and so that brings something to mind because, and I'm sure you've heard this phrase because I, as a divorce attorney, I've heard it more times than I can count. And what I hear from most people by the time they got to my office was, we've been living like roommates for years. And I honestly have heard that it's one of those, if I only had a dollar for every time I heard it, because I could retire.
Exactly. Same.
What is that? Why is that a situation? Is this that sort of that inertia that takes hold because it's too hard to change and it's too hard to divorce, so we just sit there?
So I think it happens even before that. And yes, inertia is a piece of it. But if you think about, I always look for like what's underneath the thing that we think is the problem, because the problem is the symptom and what's going on underneath it. And so I think about, you know, whether you got married in your 20s or 30s or whatever, there's an element in that time of your life of there's things I want. I want a career, or I want a business. I want a husband. I want a family. I want a home. I want, you know, like there's things that you want. And I think sometimes we walk down the aisle and we check that box and we're like, awesome. Put that over here. Let me just put that over here on this shelf. And I'm going to pour all of my love, time, attention, energy into what's next that I want to create in my life. And most certainly when kids come along, that's where we pour our time, effort, love, and energy. And the kids are thriving, but we've now sort of backburnered our relationship over the course of years. And so there is that inertia that like, yeah, now we're disconnected. And there's a whole bunch of things that come with that. But also, I don't think, like if you ask me what's the one big reason why people struggle in their relationships, I would tell you hands down, it's because we were never set up to be successful to begin with. Like, Susan, would you ever hire an attorney to represent you that had zero tools, zero training, and no experience?
Oh, gosh, that sounds right. Perfect.
But your mom was an attorney. I mean, that's okay, right? Like, yeah. I'd still hire you. No, you'd never hire a doctor to operate on you. You'd never have an accountant pay your taxes and represent you. Like, but we come into marriage with love and hope and what we saw growing up at home about what love and marriage look like. And by the way, they didn't have any training and tools either. And I don't know about you, but my parents' relationship, that was a very different time than today's relationships. It's not even helpful anymore because it's not relevant anymore. So we come into marriage with zero tools and training. Like maybe we got a premarital class that was like 90 minutes long. But as human beings, we don't look to solve problems we don't have. And so it wasn't all these things that happen around 10 years, 20 years post kids. No one told us what to expect. No one told us about when your hormones change, how that's going to change the dynamics of your marriage. Like there's so many things that no one told you. So if you're struggling in your marriage, don't beat yourself up. You were not set up to be successful. And this is why we have the divorce rates we do, in my opinion.
You know, you're saying it and it seems like a little light bulb going off over my head if you're wondering, and this is a surprise to me because I've been surrounded by divorce my entire professional career. But you are absolutely correct. It's like you're describing my first marriage, right? I was 30 years old. That's about when you're supposed to get married. So I looked over. That's who I was dating. So therefore, apparently, that's who I'm supposed to marry. Did I look at compatibility? Did I look at his skills in relationships and what he had learned from, you know, no offense to his family, but
his parents,
you know, little... Yeah. Very interesting family history, right? And not shockingly, that was my first marriage. And I learned where I learned how to have a more successful relationship was actually sort of what not to do based on that relationship. And then the growth and the work that I put in the 3 years between ending that relationship and meeting my current husband.
Right. Because life experience is what teaches. It's not actually words. People ask me all the time, like I literally, one of my clients last week, she's like, why don't you write a book that's just before people get married? I would give this as a Christmas gift to all my kids. I'm like, okay, that's great. You've got five kids. So that's awesome. I can sell it. The reality is they're not like, where are all the possible potential ways I could get tripped up? They're feeling hopeful about their future. They're in love. They're not thinking about all the things that could go wrong. And by the way, like, how are you supposed to know at 30 who you're going to be at 50? We have no experience. Like, so you don't know until you get there. And that's why relationships are living, breathing things that we need to reevaluate and sort of evolve as we move through it. We're not flash frozen the day we get married and like, we will never change.
That's it.
Life will never change.
Stop growing.
Some people like, go back to the woman you were before you had kids. Like, just try.
Oh, God, please. No, thank you. I wouldn't even want like someone the other day. I'm in my 50s now. And somebody asked me the other day if I'd want to go back to my 20s. And I said, other than the thighs I had at 20 and maybe that butt, you know, no, God, no, 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 no. I would never, ever, ever. I actually, if you had to pick a decade I've liked the most, it's been the 50s. And they just get better as we go, right? But that's maybe that's another podcast episode. But as we're talking about this, okay, so now I'm thinking I'm in this relationship. I do feel the inertia. So I'm speaking as one of my listeners, perhaps. They're sitting there, they're saying, okay, checking a bunch of boxes here on how I feel. I feel that inertia. I feel like things have changed. I feel like we've been living like roommates for a long time. What do we do? What do I do? How do I change this? How do you even start down the road of getting to 2.0?
So the first and easiest way is to get equipped, like in the spirit of what we were talking about before about tools and training, is get equipped with some real relationship tools and then apply them. This is the most important piece, because there are more than 100,000 relationship books on Amazon today. If reading a book, and I've written 10, right? Like, we have a lot of work. But the thing is, if just reading a book solved the problem, we would not have the issues we do today. So we read a book, or we listen to a podcast, or we watch a video, and we think it feels productive. Like, I just learned something new. But when it comes to applying it, that's where a lot of people fall down. And that's why having the accountability and support of any kind of a program, whether that's therapy, whether that's coaching, whether that's, you know, you creating your own consistent program and you holding yourself accountable to applying those tools again and again and again. Because, by the way, just like if you were trying to learn Italian, look, you can spend a day learning Italian, but you are not going to be conversational with someone in Italy. Like, it's not going to sound like Italian.
No.
You got to practice it to get good at it. It's a new skill. This is the same thing. It's no different. So get equipped with real relationship tools. Don't feel like you have to get equipped with thousands of tools, because there are thousands, but you do have to master a good chunk of them. What is surprising to people is that a lot of those, the most effective tools, begin with working on you. And I think this is part of the challenge, is that when people are struggling in their marriage, I don't care which side it is I'm talking to, the man, the woman, the husband, whatever, which spouse I'm talking to, they have their own version of what's going on. And usually their way of solving it is, if they would just change, I would feel better. If they would do something differently, I would feel loved. I would feel appreciated. I would feel adored. Whatever it is that you want to feel. We keep looking to our partners to be the one to do the change. And no one changes because you want them to. So that is a dead end. And many people will spend their lives in relationships trying to get their partners to change because it seems perfectly logical to you. Now, I'm not suggesting that people can't change. Of course they can. I'm living proof of it. I am nowhere near the first person in my second marriage that I was my first marriage.
My husband, I've always said, would not even date or speak to that woman that was married to my first husband. God, no.
But the only thing that you do have control over is you. Now, you are showing up in that relationship about you doing your work. And so a lot of those tools begin with you. And so you got to be open to that and not just keep pointing the finger that, well, he or she is the problem. And if they would just change, then this would all be fine. It's a dead end. If it worked, I'd tell you to do it. It just doesn't work.
Yeah. You know how they say it louder for the people in the back. No one is going to change just because you want them to. I mean, I have said that version of that sentence so many times, but you know, if you didn't hear it the first time Sharon said it, hear it now. To me, what I hear, though, in what you're saying is a great deal of hope, because the other thing that we often hear from people is, well, I've tried to talk to my spouse about changing, about going to therapy, about doing this, about doing that, and they're not interested. They don't want to put in the effort, or we've done it, but nothing's really changed. This is saying, step one, control what you can and start working on you.
And I'll even take it further in terms of like creating hope for yourself. We bring our whole selves to our marriages, right? So you know how they say, well, when you get married, you marry the whole family. Oh, my friends, like, we marry every experience they ever had. We marry every insecurity they have. We marry every trauma, wound, whatever. We marry all of it and we bring it all to our relationships. So when you change, like let's say that there's you and your spouse and each of you are 50% of this thing called your marriage. Well, when you change 50% of anything, that thing in and of itself is going to change. That's just physics. So that's just science. So when you change 50% of what's going into this, the dynamic between you changes. When you start communicating differently, setting a healthy and loving boundary for yourself, their reaction to you is going to change. So when you change, you are changing the dynamic between the two of you. And that's important. So I don't think we give ourselves enough credit that we alone can create change. But the problem is a lot of people sit back and wait, well, he's not ready or she's not ready, so I guess I can't. We can't do anything until we're both ready to work on this in the same way at the same time. Well, let's wait for the stars to align, shall we? Like, it's not going to happen.
Okay. Sooner or later, the universe will come into alignment and this will happen.
But by then,
that's actually the most disempowering way to look
right,
at it, that you don't have the control.
You'll be so hacked off at them that the bridge will be like so much further, like to bridge. It'll be so much harder by then. So don't wait for your partner to be ready at the exact same time. If you want change in your life, create change in your life. And if your relationship is one of the most important things to you, then start there, focus there. It's important.
Yeah. It is important. And as you start to make those changes and working on yourself, I would, as you said, that by its very nature, you said science, or you actually said physics, which is not a subject that I was up for in college. I was an English major for a reason. However, even I can get the fact that when you change one half of something, everything will start to change. Now, not all that change may be well received, as you said, by your spouse. Yeah. So I'm going to assume also as a part of this process, as things start to change, you know, we all know how important communication is and what is, you know, the ability to talk with your spouse. But what I find most people sort of do is they talk at their spouse. Yeah. And they don't talk to or talk with, you know, there's not a lot of actual conversation. It's more talking.
Right. I've got things to say. You better sit down and listen.
Hey, Divorce and Beyond listeners. I've got a quick but exciting update for you. I'm so excited to say that the podcast is now available on Audible. Yes, where you listen to all your ebooks, you can now also listen to your Divorce and Beyond episodes. And to celebrate, we've got a special offer for you. You get 1 month free of Audible Plus. So to take advantage of that, just go to the show notes. Or even better, we have on the website an entire page of books that were written by all our many experts. You can go to the divorceandbeyondpod.com website, go to Beyond Reading, and you're going to find all the books that have been written by our experts, books like Christina McGee's Parenting Apart and Bill Eddy's Biff and Splitting. So whatever the book is, go find it there, download Audible, and we know that sometimes you don't want a hard copy book on display for everyone to see. So whether it's for privacy or convenience, you can listen to the books and the podcasts all in one place on Audible. So take advantage of this fantastic offer. Keep your journey of learning and empowerment going privately and conveniently. Go to divorceandbeyondpod.com and go to Beyond Reading. Stay tuned for more from best-selling author and master relationship coach, Sharon Pope, with her golden nuggets on moving out of relationship limbo to create the 2.0 version of your marriage that you want.
Because by the way, most of us don't know how to make ourselves happy, but we're saying here, I'm unhappy. You should do something to make me happy. No, it's not even his job, right? So we've got to be able to communicate more directly. And the more we can learn about each other and understand each other, the better we can be in relationship with each other.
If you are enjoying this episode, be sure to check out last week's show with Fiona Kong and hear how her Home Sweet Homes journal for kids who are co-parented is changing divorce not only for children, but is also transforming the co-parenting experience for the better.
Despite having two homes, I think he still can have a really loving and good experience from both of us. Just because we're in two homes doesn't mean you can't have that.
And now we return to today's show.
There are very specific differences. If you're in a heterosexual marriage, there are very big differences between men and women, and it shows up a lot inside of the way that we communicate. And so because we don't understand those differences, this is another place where our partner is like, well, why do you have to talk about all this stuff? Like, when are you going to get to the point? Is there an end to this? What are we doing? Or they tune out and you feel like you're not being heard. And then you're thinking, why are you not listening to me? Why do you not? I guess you don't care about this. Because we communicate as men and women very, very differently. We have different brains. We have different brain chemistry. We have different hormonal cocktails in our bodies. The size and centers of our brain are different. So one of my favorite things, I'll just give you a little like nugget here, because again, I could give you lots of ways that we're different. But so men have what's called singular focus and women have what's called diffuse awareness. Here's what that means. When I'm talking to my husband and he's looking at, my husband likes to fish. Okay. I'm not a fisher person. But when he's watching a YouTube fishing video and I'm trying to talk to him, he is singularly focused on one thing at a time. He goes really deep, one thing at a time, because that's the way his brain works. Now, if he's focused on me, he's right there with me. But what I won't do is I'm not going to try to talk to him about something important when he's in the middle of something else, because he's not going to process two or three things simultaneously. Women, on the other hand, we like to think of ourselves as the great multitaskers. We have more synapses going between the left and right hemispheres of our brain. Look, I'm going to science again, which means
this one I know. I know neuroscience. I can handle this one.
Why we can think about, here's a problem I have, and I'm trying to get to a solution, and I can factor in 12 different variables as I talk through all the options and the pros and the cons to get to a solution. I can think about multiple things simultaneously. Now, I'm not suggesting that one is better or worse. A lot of the times women are like, men need to keep up with us. Well, I don't know. I can make an argument that we're not terribly present for any of those 12 things. We're just trying to do 12 things at once. So I don't know that one is better or worse. I think that they're just different skill sets. But the point that I always go back to with my clients is, look, you can not like it that his brain doesn't work like yours, but every time you battle with reality, you will lose. So stop trying to get him to have a female brain. He doesn't have a female brain. He's not just like a hairy girlfriend. You can't speak in nuances and subtleties and think he's going to get it. He's not. He speaks and thinks very directly. So when we go to him and say, I'm not happy, and then there's crickets.
How do we fix that?
Right? Like, you've given him nothing. He's like, oh, I should do something. But a confused mind always does nothing. Because by the way, most of us don't know how to make ourselves happy, but we're saying, here, I'm unhappy. You should do something to make me happy. No, it's not even his job, right? So we've got to be able to communicate more directly. And the more we can learn about each other and understand each other, the better we can be in relationship with each other.
Yeah. So I love this conversation because it's making me think, first of all, my husband he's watching a YouTube video about fish or about tractors, because those are his hobbies, and I might be trying to have a conversation with him about something I think is vastly important, and I can't pull him away from, you know, some guy named Billy Bob who's, you know, building a tractor out in his barn. So I get that. That makes a lot of sense. And it also brings up that whole, right, you know, like beating your head into a wall by trying to change. So what I'm hearing from you is that, yes, the communication is important, but so is setting up for the communication. So is preparing for, these were probably some of those tools that you were talking about in how to move things forward when you are at a point where It is important. Like, you can work on yourself, you can make changes and effectuate change for yourself. But as that creates a reaction or change with your partner, that's where I would assume communication needs to be opened up. And so this isn't something you just drop on them when they're watching a fish video.
No. And, you know, to your point, you know how we were joking about don't say the four dreaded words, we need to talk.
Yeah.
All right. So let's make this real. What should you do instead? Because there's going to be things that you're going to want to address with your spouse. But if you keep entering it from, we'll use the we need to talk conversation, think about how that plays out. You come to your partner and you're like, we need to talk, which automatically, since none of us want to be on the receiving end of that, we know we're in trouble. So what do? We armor up and we get a little bit defensive. Now we're on guard because we know we're going to be accused of something, criticized of something, whatever. So I'm not really open to hearing what it is that you're saying. And so then I go into defensive mode. I justify why I did what I did. And then you feel unheard. And so you try explaining it a different way from your perspective. Maybe then he'll understand. Well, then he's just getting irritated. Let's say that he presents anger. And then when you see anger, that sends you into fight, flight, or freeze. You shut down. You walk away. You give each other the silent treatment for 3 days until it blows over, but nothing gets resolved until it comes up again and we have another we need to talk conversation. So how do you do it differently? What if you went to your partner and you were like, you know what? There's something important that I need to talk to you about. And I know you and I see this differently, but I just genuinely want to understand why you see this the way you do. When would be a good time for us to have a conversation about Joey's math, whatever? I mean, like
fishing.
Yeah. About fishing, whatever it is, whatever the topic is. So first of all, what did I do? I set up a time when he would be focused on this conversation. I didn't try to insert it into something that he's in the middle of. I set up a separate time. And then what I'm going to do is I'm just going to tee it up with, like, we see this differently, but I'm going to assume that I'm not married to an idiot. Shocking. So there must be some reason why you see it the way you do. Help me understand. Now you let them talk first. Now it's not a sit down, shut up. I've got some things I want to say to you and you better listen. Now, once he's heard, he's emptied himself. He's explained. Do you think he's more likely to listen to you and your perspective or less likely? Do you now have more information to go on about what's important to your partner and what's not, or less? Right? So this is just getting equipped with tools to help you navigate these conversations so much better.
I love that. You'd be a fabulous mediator, by the way. So this is all, you know, a lot of how we try to help people reframe their discussions in mediations when we're doing this in the divorce side. But one thing that, you know, like marital mediation is based upon is having these conversations much in this same space that we're talking about here, but with a facilitator as a mediator. So I just find that to be such a fascinating concept. And I will say, that's a wonderful, like right there, that little nugget. My listeners always love the little golden nuggets. That's such a wonderful little golden nugget. And frankly, whether you're dealing with a husband or if you're a same-sex marriage, you're dealing with a same-sex spouse, that is the way to open a conversation with someone. The hardest part for so many of us, at least I know for me, was having to wait until they were then ready to have the conversation. Because once I've opened the door, I'm like ready, I'm good to go. If you want to do it now, we certainly can. Yeah. And it's something, you know, everything that you've said about how men's brains work, one thing I've had to learn to do with my husband is say, introduce the topic, have our conversation about it and say, look, you don't need to decide this right now.
That's right.
In fact, I don't want you to. Give it some thought, take your time. And when you want to talk about it, just let me know.
Yeah. And see, I would say for many of my clients, the only thing I would tweak there is when would be a good time for us to come back together? Like set it up in advance, because particularly if it's a really touchy topic, my clients are like, well, we say that because we know that men have to oftentimes, this is a generalization. Okay. It's not 100%, right? There's men going, I don't do that. It's fine.
Yeah.
But
these are all generalizations, folks.
Right. So men often have to step away to process it to then come back with, okay, here's how I'm thinking about this, where women can process sort of in the moment. a little bit more. But sometimes if it's a really sticky topic and they want to avoid it, like let's say you're talking about sex. That seems like a really hard topic for a lot of people to talk about, but it's a really important part of marriage. And so if they're hesitant or they don't really want to talk about it, they're just going to keep kicking the can. And they're like, yeah, I haven't really given it any thought yet. And they're just hoping that you will just forget about it. And we can move on and just keep this rolling, keep the party train going without ever actually having to come back and discuss this again, because it's really uncomfortable. So that's why I would only just say, how about we get back together on Sunday. Sunday afternoon, we'll go out for brunch or something and we'll talk about it then. Sound good? And that way he knows he's got like 5 days to think about it, come up with a conclusion, and we're going to talk about it.
I love it, because honestly, that way you're not nagging to say, so are you ready? Have you thought about it? Can we talk about it? You don't have to keep coming back with it.
Right. And then it just becomes an irritant. And then it just, it becomes another thing that falls on the floor that's never resolved.
Well, and so these, you know, I'm listening and I'm hearing a process of growth, both for you personally, which then leads to a process of growth for your relationship that moves you into what you called this relationship 2.0, right? A new version. But maybe what I said at the top of the episode is true, because I would assume this is not a one and done reorganization of your relationship. A healthy long-term relationship likely is 2.0, 3.0, 4.0, 5.0, 6.0, 7.0. Mm-hmm. I could do this for a long time, folks. Because
Apple does it.
We're always changing.
Right? Every
yeah, right. You're right.
At least one.
I've got a 15. Yeah. So
they come out with new functionality that you didn't even know you needed. Like, but yet we come in with nothing and then we never add to our toolkit and think that it's gonna just go swimmingly. It's gonna go sunshine and rainbows all the time. And of course it never is. The best of marriages are going to have upsets, but it's how we move through those upsets that's going to dictate how we feel about our marriage. Yeah. So we got to be able to like evolve it
and keep evolving it, which is a constant process of, I'm going to again assume that working on yourself, mm-hmm. communicating about the changes that are happening and being open to change with your partner, which is a constant learning process. But the skills, so these are the skills when I know that you do training. You mentioned you've written 10 books. You also have a fabulous podcast. So all different ways where you are sharing the information for people to do this. So tell people more just about how they work with you, the books, I'm going to assume Amazon, because that's where everybody has their books, but tell us about the podcast, everything that people know so they can get more Sharon Pope-isms.
So my podcast is called The Loving Truth. So that's easy to find. And honestly, if you just Google Sharon Pope, I'm easy to find. I'm all over the place. But I would encourage you to go to stayorgobook.com. So that's the book that's behind me. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
There.
There we go.
The one on Amazon, it's the exact same book. It is called When Marriage Needs an Answer. If you prefer to do it on Amazon, you can do it there. That is the one. It's sold more than 200,000 copies. It's helped so many people. It's by far the best book I've ever written. So that's where I would point you to say, start there. Because it has a lot of these tools that I'm talking about on how to evolve your marriage to a new place. If that's what you want to do, please understand, I don't have an agenda for your life. I don't think that saving a marriage is better than ending a marriage. I just think that some marriages end far too soon because we were never equipped to be successful. And sometimes divorce is the right answer. So I don't have some big agenda. I just want you to get to clarity for you. Right? So that's probably the best place to go is stayorgobook.com.
I love that. And I love that it is, you know, that you say there's no agenda. Really, the agenda is for everyone to be happy in their lives. And as you pointed out earlier, you know, we can't look to someone else to make us happy. And frankly, most of us don't even know what we mean when we say that, that I want to be happy. It's the number one thing I hear from people. I just want to be happy.
Yep.
And when I say, well, tell me more, what does that look like? They really have no idea. So this is in this, at the very least in this process, I think that you might be surprised that you find out a lot more about yourself and what it does mean for you to be happy. And that's probably what starts to help you redefine that relationship or future relationships. So this is fabulous.
By the way, even if you leave, you're taking yourself with you. So don't you want to be the happiest, healthiest, most equipped version of you? Because by the way, the divorce stats don't get better with your second and third marriages, right?
No. Which I find really surprising because, you know, as I said, all I learned in marriage one is what is part of what is making marriage two so successful.
At the very beginning, you had said your second marriage is so much different than your first marriage because of all the work that you did and sort of the learning that you were able to apply from what wasn't working in the first marriage into the second marriage. So that's the difference. And that's what we're talking about is that when you change and you take yourself with you, then what you create next is very, very different than what you created the first time. But if it's all his fault, it's all her fault, well, get rid of him, problem solved. Au contraire, my friends, that's not how it works. Because you will create the same dynamic over and over and over again. And that's what most people do is they assume my partner is the problem. If I just get rid of him and find the right one who will make it easy. There is no easy. There's no easy button for this. Great people still struggle sometimes. So you're always going to have upsets. It's just, are you equipped to navigate those well so that you don't do more damage in the marriage?
Right. Some baggage you are not going to leave behind, right? Because it's you. And you take it with you wherever you go. Again, I'm all about hope. I'm all about believing that the difficulty that you might be in today is going to lead you to a better beyond. And this is whether your better beyond is 2.0, 3.0, 4.0, or not that marriage anymore, or whatever that might be. It is a better beyond if you are a better you. And so there's so much hope in this. And I really appreciate your sharing it with my listeners, Sharon. It's been a delight. I've loved this episode.
I have had a fabulous time and I'm just thrilled to meet you. So thank you for having me.
So, well, I will have all of your information in the show notes for everyone. And we'll have to get together and do this again, because I'm sure they're going to have a lot of questions and comments when the episode comes out.
We could do a Q&A. That would be fun.
That would be fun. I'll start gathering them up. You guys go ahead, send in your questions for Sharon and we'll have her come back. You guys always love those episodes. So thank you again so much.
You're so welcome.
Thank you for joining me today on the Divorce and Beyond podcast. I hope you found some information and inspiration to help you on this journey. Please join me every Monday at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for a new episode. And if you like the show, please take the time to subscribe and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. You can also find more information on the website at divorceandbeyondpod.com, where you'll find links to the YouTube channel, transcripts of the episodes, and other bonus content. So I'll see you next week to help you move through your divorce and beyond.